السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: النكاح من سنتي. وقد قال: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters who listen over receivers, once again on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah we have a nikah, or two nikahs. Last week also we had a talk on nikah, whether it is traditional here in this masjid that if there is a nikah, then we say something about nikah. But it's not necessary that it has to be said. Anything and everything that we speak about deen is for guidance purposes. But it is appropriate that something should be said about nikah on the occasion of nikah. But sometimes people feel that we are not getting married, so what are we going to benefit from the talk on nikah? So, well, if you're not getting married, but you're young and you got the ability to get married, then after the talk of nikah, make preparations to get married. Start searching for a bride. That is the benefit. Nevertheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave us guidance in every aspect of our life. And that is what we are talking about in the month of Rabiul Awwal, day and night. That Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave guidance in every field, every aspect of human life. Whether it's business life, political life, our home life, our relationship with our family members, our parents, our clients, our customers, jihad, battlefield, take any aspect of life, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave guidance. So how can such an important institution like nikah be left without guidance? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, if only we have to follow his teachings with regards to nikah, marriage, there will be no problem. Everybody will live very, very peacefully. There will be great harmony. There will be great unity between the families. Amongst the families there will be unity. And there will be respect. The husband will be enjoying a life of bliss with his wife. And the wife will be enjoying a life of bliss with the husband. As I always say, then that home will become Jannat on earth, paradise on earth. Look at the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who implemented in their lives the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. When he said that the best amongst you is that person who is the best to his family, to his wife, to his children, that's what he said. And he said, I am the best to my family. Now when he said that, it was not words, he was the best. If a person wants to really know the character of the husband, whether his fuse blows very, very easily, what is his temperament, whether the life that he projects in the outside world is also the same within the house and in private, whether that piety which he displays outside is the same within his home and in private, then the best person to know that from is the wife. If that person has got a bad habit, he's watching all the filthy porn movies in the privacy of his home, that person is indulging in other kind of vices and evils which we all know of. So the wife is the person that will know most. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in spite of his many wives, but not one wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had anything to complain about Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. What kind of akhlaq and what kind of character he must have got. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, that incident is very famous and I have mentioned it many times also. But if it comes to mind suddenly, then I'm not going to leave it. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam returned from the cave of Hira, and he said, Zammiluni, zammiluni, cover me up, cover me up. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had suddenly appeared in the cave of Hira. The first verses of the Quran Sharif were revealed in the Jabal-e-Nur, the first on the Jabal-e-Nur, that cave of Hira. And I always say that the government may have destroyed many, many homes and many, many other relics and many things that were of value. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made the revelation of the Quran Sharif in such a place, the first revelation, that up till today a person can go up and go into the cave and take qasam and say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to this cave and he spent many, many days in seclusion. And this is the cave in which Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came with the first verses. That's the barakat of the revelation of the first verses. That up till today is the genuine same mountain. It's not, no roadways and construction has taken place there. And may Allah Ta'ala protect it till the day of Qiyamah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he returned and he said, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she came to know what really happened, and he said that, I fear my life. What were her words of consolation? She said, Kalla wallahi la yukhzik Allahu abada, innaka latasilur rahim, wa tahmilul kal, wa taksibul ma'adum, wa taqri dhaif, wa tu'inu ala nawaibil haq, aw kama qalat Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Now this was the first revelation. The first person to believe in him was his wife. Will our wives believe in us? If we have to say. So the first one to believe in him was his wife. And she consoled him in such beautiful ways. You have nothing to fear. Allah Ta'ala will never cause any kind of disgrace to come upon you. I'm just giving an explanation, not the exact translation. That Allah Ta'ala will not cause any kind of disgrace to come upon you. This fear that you have, that now how am I going to convey this message? The whole world will stand up in opposition. The kuffar of Makkah, the mushrikeen of Makkah, they will start torturing and persecuting and rejecting. How am I going to face? You don't have to worry. You don't have to be concerned. Allah Ta'ala will not cause any kind of embarrassment to come upon you. He who has given you this responsibility, he is the one who will give you the strength to bear this responsibility and fulfill the obligations. Because sometimes a person takes on more than he can chew, more than he can carry, and he wants to do everything but he can't do it, then it causes embarrassment. Some people, it is their desire to be chairman, secretary, treasurers of every organization that they can think of, and to also be part of the cabinet and of the parliament and of general assembly and anything and everything. And then they cannot manage, and then they get swearing. So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is being consoled that you don't have to worry. Allah Ta'ala, who has given you this burden, he is the one who is going to give you the strength to carry out the responsibility. But at the same time, she consoles him. She says that you don't have to worry, because look at the beautiful character that you have. إِنَّكَ لَتَسَلُ الرَّحِيمُ. Now again, that's a whole chapter on its own, which I'm not going into discussion. But the rights of the family members, that means you are so kind to the family members. Generally, the family members are the first ones that you have problems with. A person will, no matter how much of good you do to a member of the family, you can give him loans, you can give him hadiyas and gifts, you can give him the best. But most of the times, those same family members are the ones that are going to complain. So what did that person really give? Allah Ta'ala gave him millions. If he gave me a few hundred, what difference does it make? So the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was extremely kind and generous to his family members. To fulfill their rights. Because the first people you come into contact with are the family members. The child comes into contact with his parents, that's his family, his brothers, his sisters, and as they grow, then that family increases. They get married, the children get married. Now to fulfill the rights, and fulfill of rights does not mean that every day you go and visit the person, every day you go and you have to telephone the person. It means that you must have a large heart, you must be forgiving, you must be kind to them. If they are in need, if they need your assistance and help, then you assist and help them. Otherwise, at least meet them cheerfully, talk to them nicely, entertain them when they come and visit you. Now, all those things. Now, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Khadija, his wife, says that you do all that. And then the burden of those people who cannot carry their own burden, Now again, it's got a very wide meaning. Many, many other things that can be discussed under this also. But just one thing, that those people who are handicapped for whatever reason, they cannot carry their own burden. They are in difficulty, they are in problems. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that you are the one who assists and helps them to carry that burden. Then she says that you are the one who earns also for those people who cannot earn. Your earning also is for those people who cannot earn. It's not that you grab from them also. Look at the countries of the world when there's disasters and relief goods flood in. Half of it is stolen, it's gone. And most of the time it is those big ministers who take away so much of that wealth which comes for the poor and the needy. So our situation is this, that we will grab and we will steal from the property of the orphans, the widows and anyone that we can think of, as long as our pockets are filled and our dunya is made. And Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha says that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is your sifat, this is your characteristic, that you go out of your way to earn even for those people who cannot earn. That means you give them a share in your earnings, or that which is there, which you have the ability to earn that. There are different interpretations. Then you entertain your guests. You are happy, you entertain your guests. And then those people whom injustice has been done upon them, and as a result of that injustice, some right of theirs has been suppressed, then you assist the person in trying to get that right off his back. If the person has stolen and then he goes to jail, then that's a different thing. But those people who have been arrested, those people who have got other kind of injustices done to them, then in whichever way you can assist to get them their rights, you assist. Now look at those characteristics. Who is describing that? His wife. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she was asked, tell us about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now she was his beloved wife and she was with him all the time. She was young. But what does she say? That did you not read the Quran Sharif? Kana khuluquhu al-Quran. The life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're asking me. Read the Quran Sharif. Whatever you read in the Quran Sharif, you'll find it in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what I was getting at is all his wives, you will never find any complaint from the wives. And yet they used to have that same normal husband-wife relationship that is there. There must be sometime a little bit of disturbance in their tranquility. And that is normal, that's natural. Even Hazrat Aisha sometimes used to say some things that if it had been one of us, we would have made a big issue. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam just smiled. Because she was a wife, she had a kind of a right. So he taught us how to live with our wives. Now that subject is a very vast subject, and I've mentioned and discussed it many, many times. That we will never succeed if we have to demand rights, rights, rights. And if we have to go by the book of rights, then we will end up with World War 3, 4, 5 and 6 in our homes every day. We will have to go by the book of Ihsan. We will have to go by the book of Ihsan, generosity, kindness, overlooking, forgiveness. If we go by that, the husband goes by that, the wife goes by that, then there will be unity. But if the wife opens one kitab and say, my right, and the husband opens a kitab and say, my right, then there will be a boxing match going on in that house all the time. There must be that forgiveness, that large-heartedness. We must make our home Jannat on earth. And how will it become Jannat on earth? It is when both parties are going to fulfill others' rights. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave us guidance with regards to this matter. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if we have to look at his teachings, then it gives us a very clear picture that marriages and the upbringing of children, the running of business, all these type of things does not affect a person's spirituality. It elevates it. Someone told us, Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayh, that you are not married. How fortunate you are that whenever you want to get into ibadat, you engage yourself in ibadat. And here I have to worry about the children, I have to worry about the wife, I have to worry about earning for them, I have to worry about so many things. He said that your one day engaged in caring for your wife and children and bringing halal livelihood for them, it is better than my entire life of ibadat. the namaz of a person who is married is increased, the sawab of that is increased by 70 times. Why? Because it is a kind of a jihad that this person has to wage. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a time will come when the destruction of a person will be because of his wife, his children and his parents. In other words, what he meant was this, that the wives, the parents, the children, they will put demands upon that young person. One side will be the demand of the mother, one side the demand of the father, fulfill our rights. Then there will be the children making their demands. Then there will be the wife making her demands. And especially if she has come from a prominent family and she has lived in the lap of luxury and the husband does not have that kind of earnings, so then the demands, so her demands, mother's demand, father's demand, different people's demands. Now this young person will be torn in between. He will not know which way to turn. And as a result, then he will engage in such kind of earnings or livelihood. The person will go and do such kind of things, or he will talk to the mother in such a manner, or the father in such a manner, or the wife in such a manner, that it will be a violation of their rights, and that will lead him to Jahannam. So that is jihad of the time, that the person has to wage a balance. He has to fulfill the rights of the wives on the one side, and the rights of his mother on the one side, his father on the one side, and the mother also, and the wife also, she's got the rights to fulfill of the different parties. So this is a jihad of the time for that young person. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, just as he encouraged marriage and nikah, but he gave warnings also that if these rights are not fulfilled, then we must not think that we are going to get away. That is why that ayat of these three ayat of the Quran Sharif, which you listen to at the time of the khutbah of nikah, every ayat of that, there is an encouragement that we must develop taqwa. We must be God conscious. We must be fearful of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab and his displeasure and his anger if we are going to violate the rights of anyone and we're going to do any kind of injustice. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that the meaning of which is that fear that Allah. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. So that Allah, in the name of whom you demand your rights, whenever a person is demanding his right from a Muslim brother, he says, I am demanding it in the name of Allah Ta'ala. Fear Allah, you owe me this money. Fear Allah, this is my right. So just as you demand your rights, taking the name of Allah Ta'ala, then should you not also be fulfilling the right of the other person? So if both parties understand this, there's going to be no quarrel, no argument. So in the early days of marriage, everything is very rosy. It's a honeymoon time. But after some time, then all the problems start. But those problems will not be serious. Little arguments, little problems, little disputes in which marriage you don't have. But if both parties are understanding, they know what they have entered into, what kind of commitment they have made, and this marriage is supposed to be until death do them part, not like the marriages of today in the Western world, where it is just for a couple of days or couple of hours now. And look at the kind of things which are leading to the destruction of marriages. In Switzerland, so there was a breakdown of one marriage, and the woman sued for divorce. And what was the cause of that? He says that a husband, I keep telling him that he must not brush his teeth in the kitchen sink. But every time he brushes his teeth in the kitchen sink, and it's very irritating and annoying. Because of that, she sued for divorce, applied for divorce. And the other incident I read with my own eyes in the newspaper in England, that where the woman, where the husband was suing the wife, or wanted a divorce, and said that I am given the treatment, or my dog, the dog is given treatment better than myself. So whenever we are traveling, she makes me sit in the back seat and put the dog in the front seat. Mr. Rover sits in the front seat. Now these are the type of things which are causing breakdown of marriages. And it is like a big joke. I've mentioned this many times that Allah Ta'ala must protect us and save us. And we must be so grateful to Allah Ta'ala. We must thank Allah Ta'ala. We must make shukr of Allah Ta'ala that He saved us from such kind of a lifestyle which is worse than that of the animals. degraded to such a level, what kind of life they live? Especially when it comes to parents, they wait to become 18 years of age now. And as soon as they're 18, then finish, they say, we've got no relationship at all with our fathers and mothers now. Now if they grow old, then we'll put them into some old age home, and then once a year go and give them some flowers. That is the kind of life they are living. Look at what suffering they are going through, the old people in those countries. In the same way, those marriages also, they're on the rocks all the time. As I mentioned in one of my bayans, that first they caught and they caught and they caught. Before the marriage, first they caught the couple. And then it ends up in the divorce court. As soon as they get married, it ends up in the divorce court. First they caught, then it ends up there. And if in that dispute somebody was shot, then that person will have to rot in the prison also. So this is the state of their marriages. And look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's beautiful teachings, beautiful teachings. If only we can read and then understand and implement. But remember one thing, that no matter how much we may read and how much we may understand, so many marriages are breaking down due to quarrels, arguments, disputes, and many of them are learned people, huffaz of the Quran Sharif, people who have made hajj upon hajj, umrahs upon umrahs, people who have learnt at Darul Ulooms, people who have become muftis. But when we are going to displease Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in our actions and our deeds, then Allah ta'ala will withdraw that muhabbat from our hearts for those wives, and in the from the hearts of the wives for those husbands. And then what will happen? That is the marriage that then will become a disaster. Of course, there will be some innocent party that will get hurt in between. But then for them are great, great rewards for that sabr and patience that they will exercise in this world and in the akhirat. Because you can't help it. Somebody is going to get hurt. If somebody is unjust, the other party will get hurt. But then Allah Ta'ala will reward the person to whom injustice has been done, so much so that Allah Ta'ala says that He will definitely accept the du'as of the person to whom injustice has been done, even though it may be after some time. But Allah Ta'ala will definitely accept the du'as. Therefore, injustice is a terrible thing, and most of our injustices are beginning from our homes. If we have to look into our lives, most of our injustices are with those people who are the closest to us. We always, it is easy for us to talk about the injustices of the people, to the people of Palestine, Chechnya, and Bosnia, and Kashmir. Indeed, great injustice is being done to them. But that is shaitani way, or shaitan's way, of diverting our attention from ourselves. That just as we are showing concern for the great injustices that are done upon those people, and we must make dua for them, assist them and help them, but then we must look into our own lives, into our own homes, and those people with whom we are very closely related. Otherwise we'll keep on raising our hands and making dua upon dua. And no matter how much pleading we do to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will not accept those duas also until the person's right has been fulfilled. So the injustice is mainly to the wife, or the wife is being unjust to the husband, or we are unjust to the children. We're not giving them the right upbringing. We're not giving them deen. We're giving them sufficient amount of money to go to the rave clubs, discos, cinemas, theatres, anywhere they wish. That is also an injustice upon the children. And then we are facing the consequences of that. And sometimes it is physical abuse. Sometimes it is mental abuse. As I mentioned, that how it hurts when it's a young girl of 9 or 10, she writes that I make dua every day that my father and mother become crushed under some wheel of a tractor or truck or bus. A young girl of 9 and 10 writes that I make dua like that. My father and mother must get crushed under some truck. And why does she write that? She says that they fight like cats and dogs at the. And we catch a hiding in between if we have to say something. So who is going to face the consequences of our wrongdoings? So let us change our condition. Let us return to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If Allah ta'ala will become pleased with us, and we will have to take that pain. There will have to be that pain that we have to take on our hearts of restraining ourselves. When we are losing our tempers, we will have to restrain ourselves. There will be a pain on the heart. Shaitan will say, give vent to that anger and temper and blow up. Pull the trigger on. That's what Shaitan will say. And we will have to pull that trigger on Shaitan himself. Control ourselves. And so many other sins, when we are tempted, then we must realize that those sins will bring disasters in our lives. As I mentioned last night also in the Zikr Majlis, that how many marriages, we know after indulging in our sins, we know what it has done to our lives. Parents are complaining, wives are complaining, children are complaining, our home life has been shattered. In spite of having everything, but the person is suffering. Lazzat-e-arzi-mili, izzat-e-daimi-gayi. Lazzat-e-arzi-mili, izzat-e-daimi-gayi. Lazzat-e-bandagi-gayi, rahat-e-zindagi-gayi. For a little while of pleasure, respect is gone, all lifelong respect is gone. The enjoyment of ibadat, of zikr, of tilawat, and everything else, that is also gone. Rahat-e bandagi gayi. Nothing is left. Being a public holiday, we normally take 5 minutes extra. But that is what we have to learn. That until we are not going to change our condition, Allah Ta'ala will not change the condition. Allah Ta'ala is loving, is very merciful, very forgiving, very, very kind. He dearly loves us and He wants to give us the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. Why else has He created the whole universe? He subjugated the heaven and the earth for us. The moon, the sun, the stars, the waters of the ocean, everything. Become doctors, teachers, become philosophers, scientists. Learn all trades and skills. But don't become masters of winning at the casino. Learn other skills. The general said, Maulana said, must learn all skills. So I want to become an expert of how to win. So learn all that. Nobody stops. But don't forget the giver of life, the giver of sight, the giver of hearing and speech, the giver of our heart, liver and lungs, and the one who is causing all these things to function. At this very moment, neither do I know, neither do you know, nobody here knows that what is happening inside. We just ate some food and forgot about it. And Allah Ta'ala's whole system inside is working for our benefit. The sun, the moon, the stars, everything is working. The heart is beating. The kidney is doing its flushing. Everything is happening for this man. So we make use of everything that Allah Ta'ala has given and we forget Him. So Allah Ta'ala, all that He wants from us is that we must not disobey Him and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and He will pour the ni'mats for us. And the greatest gift that He will give us will be sukoon in our hearts. I conclude. Jisse hain aap khush is jahan mein, wo shab o roz hai gulsitaan mein. Jisse hain aap khush is jahan mein, wo shab o roz hai gulsitaan mein. The person with whom, O Allah, you are happy, then day and night he is in gardens, irrespective of what the outside conditions are. But Allah Ta'ala gives him such tranquility, such sukoon, such peace, such serenity, such joy, such happiness in his heart, that if the kings had known what Allah Ta'ala gives to his friends in their hearts, the kings would have used their armies to try and snatch it away. That's why Allah gives it inside the heart, so nobody can snatch it away. May Allah Ta'ala bless me, bless you, and the entire ummah with it. May Allah Ta'ala bless these marriages with barakat, with rahmat. May Allah Ta'ala keep them united. May Allah Ta'ala bless them with pious and righteous children and protect them from all the fitnas of present times.